And here's what I've learned, friends. Worry is not my friend. It tries to get me to live in a past I can't change or a future I can't control, and it relentlessly steals my joy in the present.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you've joined us for this series through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Pastor Philip, worry. Everybody does it. There's from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, we worry. But there's hope, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, worry is superhuman, right? I mean, we just, it's a part of the human experience. We do it. It's part of our lives. And yet, it's debilitating, isn't it? It's crippling. It's destroying us from the inside out. Worry is bad for us. Mm. But the good news is there is a freedom from worry in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is actually going to show us the way to have that freedom today.
Now, beloved, you want to make sure you stay tuned after the message, because Pastor Philip is going to weigh in on the question, is worry always sin? I can't wait for that discussion. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church for part one of the sermon, Freedom from Worry.
We're going to talk about freedom from worry today, all right? Because there's so much to worry about in life, isn't there? Politics, economy, our health, safety, our families. As a kid, I would worry about tests and grades and recitals. I worried about getting in trouble. I worried that my parents would find out, you know? I remember thinking to myself, I can't wait till I grow up, because then I won't have to worry. But then I got older, and worry followed me. I worried about making friends. I worried about picking a college. I worried about choosing my major. I worried about living up to my potential, whatever that means. I worried about whether I'd ever find a young lady that I would fall in love with and asked to marry me, and if I did, I worried whether she'd say yes, and of course I did, and she did, and then I worried it was too good to be true. I worried about having children. I worried about whether we'd be able to have them, and if we were able to have them, I worried about whether they would survive. And then Claire was born, our oldest, and she survived, and I thought, phew, now I can stop worrying, right? Wrong. That little baby was 7 pounds, 2 ounces of non-stop worry. And with each of our 4 kids, the worry only compounds. We worry about their health. We worry about their safety. We worry about their growth. We worry about their education, their behavior, their walk with God. We worry about who they'll become. I worry about letting them down. And here's what I've learned, friends. Worry is not my friend. It tries to get me to live in a past I can't change or a future I can't control, and it relentlessly steals my joy in the present. Worry tells me there won't be enough. Worry says you're not going to make it. Worry says they're not going to like you. Worry says the bubble's going to burst. You're disappointing people. Just wait till the other shoe drops. You've got to be on your guard constantly. That's what worry sounds like. And worry is really sneaky. Just yesterday, I was stressed out. I spent the week at a camp in Michigan doing ministry. I spoke every night of the week. So I've spoken 8 times in 8 days, and I was kind of wiped out, a little emotionally thin, anxious, a little testy. And I was worried about getting this message pulled together in time for this morning, and then it struck me. I'm worrying about a message about being free of worry. That's sneaky, right? And Jesus hates worry. He hates what it does to people. He hates how it makes us small and selfish and timid and mean. Jesus hates how worry chokes our joy, how it steals our peace, how it smothers our hope and eats away at our souls. Jesus hates worry, but Jesus loves worried people. Jesus loves worried people. Jesus has great compassion for people who worry, people like me, and maybe like you too. And today, Jesus is inviting us into the abundant life of the kingdom of heaven that is at hand in his presence. If we will come to him, believe in him, trust in him, follow him, Jesus says, come, believe in me. Get in on all that I have to offer for you, and I will show you the way to live in a life that is actually free from worry. And if you're like me, maybe you can use a little bit of freedom from worry today. If you could use a little freedom from worry today, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's grab our Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Thanks be to the Lord for the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to be our teacher this morning. Father, to worry is human. There's so much in life that can go wrong. There's so much in the future that's unknown. There's so much in our past we wish we could change. But it is not ours to worry about. Help us rest in your goodness, in your presence, in your provision today as beloved children in the kingdom of our Father. Teach us the ways of Jesus. For his name's sake we pray. Amen. Amen. This passage begins in verse 25 with the word therefore. Therefore, which means that Jesus is extrapolating on his previous teaching, what he said just previously. So if you zoom back up and remember from before, Matthew 6, verses 19, 20, and 21, here's the core ideas of what Jesus has been teaching. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As we've seen, what Jesus is doing is he's calling his followers to live radically upside down lives in light of the reality of the upside down kingdom that is at hand in his coming. Instead of living our lives for this earthly pilgrimage to amass wealth and comfort and security in this life that is fleeting, Jesus is teaching us to reorient our lives around the presence and priorities of the kingdom of heaven, to live not for the stuff of earth, but for the substance of heaven, the things that last. Instead of building our own little kingdoms here on earth, Jesus is inviting us, calling us to live for the grandeur of the kingdom of heaven, to invest our lives into things that matter for eternity. We read the poem last week of C.T. Studd, the famous refrain, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last." And just when we were trying to find a way to sit on the fence and sort of get the best of this world and get the best out of the next, Jesus takes away the middle ground. In Matthew 6, 24, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. You have to choose. You're going to have one master at the end of the day, one ultimate allegiance, one overarching purpose for your life. And what will it be? As C.S. Lewis famously said, "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither." So what's it going to be? Will you keep on living for your own kingdom that is only going to crumble and fall in the end? Or will you live for the kingdom of heaven, of Christ and his eternal, everlasting kingdom? That's the immediately preceding context. And then those same themes come back at the end in Matthew 6, 33, at the end of our section today. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So everything in the surrounding context is about living for the priority of the kingdom of God, to invest our time, talent, treasure in the things that will truly last, laying down our kingdom in order to live for the kingdom of God. But that begs a question, doesn't it? Let's say I give my life for the kingdom of God. Instead of amassing all the things I can get in life, let's say I give myself away in radical discipleship of Jesus and live for his kingdom above all else. The question is, well then who takes care of me? Who's gonna take care of me? Who's gonna pay my bills? Who's gonna put food on my table? Who's gonna make sure I'm okay at the end of the day? Because this invitation from Jesus to live in this radically kingdom-oriented kind of life has a shadow side, and most of us feel a little worried about a life like that, a little frantic, a little anxious. What would it mean to really say yes to this radically upside-down way of life? And to worried hearts like ours, Jesus now speaks these words of assurance. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Don't worry. Not because it's unpleasant. It is. Not because it's hurting your body. It is. Not because it's destroying your soul. It is. Do not worry, because you live in a God-created, God-sustained, God-filled, God-watched, God-loved, God-kept universe. Don't worry, because your life is perfectly safe in the hands of your loving Father, now and forever. See, friends, worry is like a venom from the snake that steals our lives slowly, draining it out of ourselves.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. And you know, before we start our conversation today, I really want to take this opportunity to just thank you and acknowledge that this program is made possible because of faithful listeners like you. And our way to say thank you for your financial support and partnership with us, we'd like to send you this special resource. Now, to get yours, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. We're so glad you've joined us today, because we are now going to explore the dangers of worry. Now, Pastor Philip, you describe worry as a venom. Mm. Let's see if we can take a bite into this then. So why?
I see what you did there. Yeah.
How exactly then does it drain us? How does worry just drain the life out of us is really what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Well, I think we all inherently like have this suspicion that worry is eating away at us, right? It takes our energy, it takes our creativity, it takes our passion, debilitates our ability to rally and stand up and face things. It's like, because it's just constantly eating, right? And there's this ruminating quality to worry where it's just spinning in the back of your brain. Like you're laying in bed at night, the mind is just going, and you can't stop chewing on it, you know? And it's this fixated trying to control something that I've lost control of. And I just keep working it over and over and over and over. And I can't relax. I can't disengage. I can't calm down. And so like that kind of worry, I mean, we all experience it from time to time and sometimes more than others. But it is a draining thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think of, you know, my grandma was a real worrier and, she would worry about everything. This might happen. The car might wreck. The plane might go down. She just had all these worries and she was a worrisome creature a lot of the times. Great lady, love her to pieces, but that was part of her life. You know, she lived with that. And I never thought of myself as a worrier. But I'm realizing it's that ruminating. Like I'm not as frantic about the future and the what ifs, but that ruminating, like replaying a conversation that didn't go the way I wanted it to. And I'm trying to think of what I should have said and maybe how I could have maybe, you know, got to a different conclusion, maybe what a different outcome. And I'm replaying it and I'm just kind of wrestling with it over and over. That's worry. Mm-hmm. Thinking about my past and something that I have a regret in that I can't let go and I can't move on from, but I'm stuck there and I keep replaying it. I keep coming back to it. It keeps coming back, intrusive thoughts in my mind, and I just wrangle with it. Like that's worry.
Yeah.
So you can worry about the past. You can worry about things you can't control. You can worry about the unknowns of the future. It's like, it's there. And as it just kind of spins in the background, it's exhausting. Mm. And, which is why it's such good news when Jesus comes along and says, I've got something better for you.
Okay, but you've told us. Now, everybody does it. And everyone who's listening to us can say, he's right. I may not verbalize it all the time, but I've always got this stuff going on in my head. So here's the question. Is worry a sin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about that. Because Jesus says, do not worry.
Yeah.
Paul says, you know, worry about nothing, but in everything, present your prayers to the Lord. Okay. So the scriptures are clear. We're not to worry. Right? So what exactly are they talking about there? We got to define our terms. It's really important because worry, anxiety, concern, all of those things arise, stress. They arise when we feel a sense of threat. It's actually a God-given design built into us to respond to threatening situations. So if I'm walking across the street with my kids and I see a bus coming and my kids are out there in front of me and all of a sudden stress, worry, concern, anxiety kicks in.
Yes.
And I go, wait a minute, I got to get them. And you grab them, you snatch them back, you protect them. That's the healthy function of this thing that God's given us, this ability to see in our environment, realize we need to respond, engage. That's the God-given good gift.
Okay.
Okay. So we have this and it triggers a fight, flight response, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's good anxiety. That's good stress. That's good concern, worry in that sense. Where it gets bad for us is when we then pick it up and start holding on to it in that ruminating sort of pattern where it's now no longer just localized to the situation where I'm rallying and responding to the danger.
Yes.
But now I'm carrying it out of that moment and I'm chewing on it and it's becoming a bit of a mental frame of mind. And now I'm living there.
Yeah.
That's another thing. This is where clinical anxiety and kicks in.
Yes.
Because some people have habituated into that to the point where their brain literally cannot disengage from the cycle of anxiety.
So they don't go outside at all now because of that.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or there's other coping mechanism. A lot of people have like, you know, pretty strong, you wouldn't even know they're anxious, but they live there. Right. And so there's a clinically diagnosed kind of anxiety. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. So he's not talking about the healthy stuff that is designed to help us flee danger. He's not talking about the clinical stuff where our brains have literally started to break and therefore need all kinds of medical care to get healthy. What he's talking about is sort of garden variety, everyday anxiety, where we start to believe that we're actually orphans in the universe and that we've got to fend for ourselves and that God is not trustworthy. And he's not really good, and we can't count on him to take care of us. So I think about my past, and I say, there's things in my past I've got to, like, take mental control over and try to just, you know, fixate on, because I can't actually entrust those past events into the hands of God who can redeem it.
Okay.
Or I look at the future, and I think it has to go a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I've got to mentally take control of it because I've got to make sure it happens the way I think I want it to happen. And what it really is underneath is it's a lack of trust that I have a good father who's watching over me, who knows more than I do, who has good intentions for me, and who is watching over my future. So my inability to actually trust God with my past, with my future, puts me in this ruminating space where I think I've got to be king of the universe at some level. I can't trust God. I think I know better than him. And therefore that becomes sin, because I'm putting myself in the place of God and I'm not trusting him, not full of faith. Everything that's not full of faith is sin, right? So in that sense, I'm not actually living the way I'm supposed to. I'm not trusting God. And of course, all of this is a feature of a broken world. So I don't think there's going to be anxiety and worry in heaven, where God has made everything right and whole and good, and there aren't dangers to flee.
Yeah.
I think the world will be made new, and that will be a beautiful thing. But in the meantime, we've got to learn to live this out.
I think you've already answered it, because in that answer you gave five times, trust God, trust God, trust God. So what practical step do we have for our listeners to move from worry to trust God?
Yeah, I think it is that pivot of saying, okay, if the Bible is true.
And it is.
And it is. If God is who he claims to be.
And he is.
Then he can redeem anything in my past. I can give it to him.
Yes.
And entrust it into his hands. And I know that he's my good father, and he owns every moment of my future. And that belongs in his hands as well. So when I worry, I've got to start introducing truth into the rumination. I've got to remind myself what's true so that it breaks the cycle of all that control I'm trying to seize over my universe. And I start to really trust and say, God, I believe that you are as good as you claim to be, and I'm entrusted in all of this into your hands.
Oh, we can pray that with confidence, can't we, beloved? I give all my concerns to God, and I trust you today and right now. You know, when we take that posture of prayer, something begins to change on the inside. You realize you can lay down the burdens you were never made to carry anyway. You can finally take a breath, step back, rest it all in the hands of our Heavenly Father. And to help you remain rooted in your faith in Christ, we want to send you Pastor Erwin Lutzer's book, Christ Among Other Gods. In a culture that falsely claims all religions are equal, this resource helps you anchor your life in who Jesus has revealed himself to be. When you give towards the ministry right now, your donation will be doubled dollar for dollar, up to $90,000, thanks to a special matching challenge from Friends of the Ministry. Your support keeps our daily broadcast on your local radio station and on your phone when you're on the go. To request your copy of Christ Among Other Gods and to have your gift doubled, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can always write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. You know, giving up control allows our hearts to be secure in our Father's care. And next time, we'll talk about our worry and God's love. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media. and is sponsored by The Moody Church.